Excuse me, this is the operator. Just need to inform all participants that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your lines at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you very much, Laurie. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IOC call on the 11th of January, 2012. On the call today, we have Jeff Newman, James Bickoff, Steve Delbianco, Konstantinos Komaitis, Lanley Ajayi, Wolfgang Kleinwächter, Kieran Malan-Charouville, Thomas Rickett, Charles Gomes, and Gregory Chatham. And Joy Lidicote has just joined us. From staff, we have Brian Peck, Marjorie Milam, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. We have apologies from Wendy Zeltzer and Zahid Jamil. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Great, and just to note for the record, this is Jeff Newman. I did get an apology note from J. Scott Evans as well, so if we could just note that in. So welcome, everyone, to the IOC Red Cross call, and just want to welcome everyone. There's a lot more people on the call today than last week. So I just want to remind everyone that, you know, I am technically the group leader, but I really consider it more of a discussion leader. I'm just trying to get us to discuss what's going on. Our role really is to provide input and advice to the GNSO Council so that they can have some background and some information from the GNSO community when the GNSO Council interacts with the GAC on the GAC proposal. We have, for those of you on the call that may not be on Adobe, we do have Adobe Connect up, which is used to display documents and also helps me, if you want to get in the queue, to just raise your hand and then I could call on people from the queue. If you're not by a computer, then just let me know, just kind of interrupt and let me know when you have a question and we'll form a queue that way. So one more thing, if you can, when you speak, if you could just you know, give your name for transcription purposes, and also the first time you speak, if you could just give a little bit of background for those that may not know you on the call as to, you know, which stakeholder group you're a part of, or whether you're representing the Olympic Committee or whatnot, just to give a little bit of background and context. That said, everyone should have by now, I'm hoping, filed a statement of interest, which also is another document that we use in the GNSO community to state if you have any interest so that everyone in the group knows where you might be coming from on any particular issue. So all that said, I think the agenda is similar to the last time, although hopefully we'll get through or start on some of the substantive issues. We spent a lot of time on the last call, which I think was helpful, talking about more of the philosophical issues that were initially introduced by the GAC, which is, you know, is this a matter of policy? Is this a matter of implementation? And so then that frees us up now to kind of talk about some of the substance in the proposal. So all of that said, the document that's up on Adobe right now is actually the one that I had sent around, which I also see that Chuck Gomes has made some edits to, which is great. So we can go through that document and we can then talk about the issues. The goal is to have a call, obviously this call today, to set up another call in 2 weeks at this same exact time to follow up. But also everyone should be going back to their respective groups and to the extent they can be getting input from their stakeholder groups, their constituencies, the at-large, wherever you come from in the community. And the next goal is to have a call with the GAC, kind of a prep call, to just inform the GAC as to where we are on these issues sometime in February, so that we can then have action items to discuss this issue in more detail with some hopefully concrete proposals in March in Costa Rica. Any questions on that before we dive right in? Okay, not seeing any questions. One of the first items that we had talked about last time, which I don't want to really get into an in-depth discussion, is the discussion of whether this really involves policy development or implementation. The GAC has come back in their document and believes it's implementation. There were a number of discussions last week, the last time we had a call last month, Most of the people on the call felt this was an issue of implementation. There have been some notes back and forth and emails feeling it's a question of implementation. And one of the things we had asked ICANN staff to go back to, to other staff, executive staff that was on the board call or in the board meetings when they discussed this issue in Singapore, was to hopefully get some feedback on that. And so I know Brian, update.
Hello?
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, now I can.
Yes. Sorry, I don't know what part I went out. Something weird happened with my phone. But Brian, do you have any update on the question of whether the board had discussed whether this was policy or implementation?
Unfortunately, not much. We did go back to legal and ask them for their input based on the question that you asked in the last call. And we checked with them again yesterday. We're still waiting to get back to hear from them. I think one of the questions that they had was, is it basically what your group is asking is whether is it an approach of involving a PDP or is it mainly more viewed as implementation advice? We told them about the call today. We asked them if we could try to get more feedback by this time. They are somewhat tied up with the launch of the new GTLDs tomorrow. We are meeting with them again tomorrow, so hopefully we can try to get a little more specific feedback on that. But unfortunately, have not been able to get more input in terms of, as you say, the context of the board discussion on whether they viewed that as the board in its passing the resolution viewed it as a policy or implementation issue beyond what you guys have discussed amongst yourselves in the last call and in between that time.
Okay, great. And on the last call, and then I'll call on Chuck. I know he's in the queue. On the last call, we decided, we're going to proceed based on the assumption that this is new GTLD implementation. Mm-hmm. And so, we're going to proceed on that. If that's an incorrect assumption, obviously we'd like to know that as soon as possible.
Sure.
Because there are a number of issues that may affect or that will affect the current round that's being launched in a couple hours. So, mm-hmm. Chuck?
Sure, and I won't repeat what you can see on my comments that I sent earlier today as far as the implementation. I certainly don't think that, if anything, this is more of an implementation issue than some of the stuff we did with rights protection, and I'm not complaining about what was done there. I'm fine with that. So I guess an alternative, if for some reason legal the general counsel's office comes back and says it's a policy issue, one way of approaching it might be to treat it as an implementation issue for the first round, and that would give time then to do a policy development process if we're not able to expedite one, which I said in my comments.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Chuck. And I think that's very much in line with the discussion last month. So that's good. Any other Joy? Yep.
Thanks, Jeff. Joy Nitticote, and I've forwarded the materials since our last meeting to the non-commercial stakeholder group, which I represent, and received some comments. I think it would be fair to characterize those as falling into sort of two groups. One is sort of a reiteration of the opposition in principle to the board decision and leaving aside that question, but noting that those views still hold about the reservation of those names. I think the second sort of group of views was that in relation to the TLD, the top-level domain name protection, the issues were different from those relating to second-level protection, and there was a much clearer view emerging from the comments in our discussions that at second-level, the matter was definitely one of a PDP rather than implementation at the top level in anticipation for the new GTLD round. So that might be also worth discussing with ICANN staff and legal. Are there different considerations in relation to the question of a PDP or implementation for the TLD and second level protection processes? Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, thank you, Joy, and I think that is something we should have clarified, or whether there is a distinction between the top level and the second level. And the good news is if at the top level, or sorry, if at the second level it is a PDP, well, we have some time before new utilities are going to be launched, so we could do a fairly expedited, as much as we can, an expedited type of PDP. So the sooner we get definitive feedback from ICANN staff, the better on that issue. But like I said, just for purposes of our group, we're going to treat it all like implementation. And worst-case scenario is that it is policy development, and either way, the work that we do here will inform the policy development process. So let me go to, I can see Margie's hand, and then I see Chuck's. So, Margie?
Thanks, Nick. A couple things I wanted to point out, and Brian's correct, we're still clarifying with legal, but as I recall from the resolution from the board, I thought the issue was really that they've agreed to treat the IOCE and Red Cross name this way, that's in the way it's now been announced for the first phase of the first round, I guess, of applications, and that for the second round of applications, it's not clear that those rules would continue. So as we think about it from an implementation side, I think the question for us is should they continue in phase two or should it be something different? And so that's my recollection, and I just wanted to kind of raise that issue.
Right. Okay, and then Chuck, and then I want to try to move on to some of the substance because I think we have a lot to talk about. So Chuck?
Sure. I'll be brief, Jeff. I wanted to give a little historical perspective to the distinction that Joy made to top level and second level, because in the reserve names working group, as well as the PDP on new GTLDs itself, which that was a part of, there was really a distinction made. We were the recommendations were stricter at the top level in terms of making reservations. Carrying that, there was less tendency to carry it over to the second level. For example, two character names were reserved at the top level for CCTLDs. At the second level, a little more openness. So I think that's a good distinction, and it's consistent with the work in the new GTLD PDP, and in particular the reserve names working group.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. Any other comments on that? Great. So then we're not going to get into this discussion today or right now. I'm sure it'll come up through a number of the other items, but we also talked about an overall issue. We talked about, are we just talking about let me go back one. And on C, we talked about whether this only applies to IOC and Red Cross. And we came up with a determination, and I think the council agreed when we did a recap afterwards, that the only names that are before us right now are the ones that were submitted by the IOC and the Red Cross, even though there have been letters submitted since then by groups like on behalf of IGOs and I think maybe even pharmaceuticals and others. The only ones this group are considering are those in the GAC proposal relating to the IOC and Red Cross. If in the future the council wants to change that, which I don't see happening in the immediate future, then we can think about taking up additional ones. But at this point, we should only be talking about IOC and Red Cross. And so therefore, I would ask that a number of discussions on whether this sets precedent for future action. You could raise the concern, and you should raise the concern, but I don't want to spend too much time talking about that, if that's okay. So also trying to monitor the chat, so certain people will file comments on the chat, and that's great. So Steve, do you want to make that comment, or do you want to?
Yeah, that's just an FYI. Someone brought up the Singapore resolution. That was the genesis of some of this action, so I simply pasted the text in there. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Joy?
Thanks, Jeff. Just one addendum. In terms of the discussion going forward, and I agree with you, the council made it clear that in terms of the GAC advice, we're only talking about the IOC and Red Cross names at this point. I think the other feedback from our constituency group was that while that's the case, it would nonetheless be very advisable for both the GNSO Council and GAC to be cautionary and mindful of the task that we're doing, lest it set a precedent, and mindful that there may be requests that follow. And so while we should deal with this issue squarely on its own terms, we must, you know, be aware of that wider context. More generally, we're making decisions. So I'm just offering that feedback as well. I think it's useful advice and guidance for us to remember that as we go forward.
Yes, thank you, Joy. And it's perfectly fine if when we're presenting our advice to the GNSO that we make it clear that this advice only applies to the International Olympic Committee names and the Red Cross names and to no others. We can make that very clear that this is not intended to create precedent for any other types of names, and those, if those ever come up in the future, they need to be decided on their own merits and not based on the work that we're doing now. Okay, so let's dive in then to the to the top level protections. And what I have documented here, again, was my interpretation of the top level protections, which we started talking about on the last call. And that was, and since there's some new people here, right now on the top level, the first question, and Margie had kind of introduced this a little bit earlier, is whether this should only apply during the first round or to all future rounds. I suggest for now we talk about pushing that issue actually to after we decide how we're going to handle top level in this round, and then introduce the topic of should it apply to future ones, if that's okay. Right now in the guidebook, just to, and a new guidebook is coming out today, right, at some point, or very shortly, and so I'm assuming the treatment will be the same. But at this point in time, what ICANN staff had done with the Singapore resolution, and someone jump in if you disagree or you think it was something different, but essentially they created a separate category for these types of names. And it's not in the category with the word example or test, for example, where those marks are reserved and there's a string similarity review that's done if someone applies for something that's similar. So if someone, for example, were to apply for, this is the one I used the last time, example, but EGGAMPLE as opposed to EXAMPLE, that would undergo a string similarity review with the string similarity review panel. And if the string similarity review panel had found that to be similar using the standards in the guidebook, then ultimately that string would not be allowed to go forward. The way that the guidebook treats the Olympic names and the Red Cross names is that it has to be an exact match, and there is no string similarity review. So if someone were to apply for Olympics that ends with an X instead of a CS, that would not be an exact match, and that would not be considered in the string similarity review. So presumably that would go forward at least until an objection phase, right? Because the Olympics could always object to that based on the objection procedures, but it would not be kicked out based on the string similar, based on an exact match. Chuck, do you have a question on that or comment?
I do, because if my memory is correct, that the string similarity review happens in with regard to existing names. Top-level names,
yes.
Applied for names and for
yes.
Reserve names. So if these sets of names for IOC and Red Cross were reserved in the first round, I would think it would apply to them that a string similarity would be done.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of us logically had thought, but the guidebook specifically makes a delineation between these names and the other reserve names. And does say that there is no string similarity review.
Okay, I didn't recall that. Thanks.
So
and Jeff, this is Brian. I did confirm that with internal staff. That is correct for both specifically the IOC and the Red Cross names, that there was no string similarity review conducted for those names.
right.
in the first round.
So I think this is probably one of the most important questions that we need to decide fairly quickly on or provide advice on, since the application window is opening in 4.5 hours. It does go on for 3 months, and then, you know, there's an administrative check point, but there's a very limited amount of time to get in our advice so that the evaluators can actually consider it. So if it is the, and I'm not saying it is, but if it is the recommendation of this group that a string similarity review should be done, well, A, that should be known when people are applying for it so that they know that, you know, their application will be subjected to this type of review. I think that's important. So I would put this as one of the next questions we're going to talk about with respect to expanding the names to include not just the foreign translations that were in the initial IOC letter and Red Cross letter, but expanding that to other foreign translations. So those are the types of things I think we really need to decide fairly quickly. Some of the other issues, especially the second level ones, I think have a little bit more time, but that one's something we need to decide. So let me throw it out there, and maybe Chuck, you already gave the registry viewpoint, or maybe that was your own personal viewpoint, but so let me pose the question out and you can kind of, I'll call on you to be first in the queue. Given what the current rules say in the guidebook and what Brian has confirmed, what are people's thoughts of should a string similarity review be done on these particular names, and we'll just limit it to the first round at this point in time?
And did you want me to start, Jeff?
I would, because you kind of went into your opinion anyway, so it'd be great if you could kick it off.
Thanks. So this is Chuck again. I don't recall us in the registries talking specifically about this question. I guess my own personal question would be, if the name is any reserved name, we don't want confusion, right? The GNSO recommendations was to, you know, try to avoid user confusion. And so why wouldn't a string similarity review be done on any name that's reserved? Because it risks user confusion. But I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, Chuck. And I think that's a very important point. And I think that does go back to a GNSO policy that was actually in the policy development process. That was one of the fundamental principles. So I think I appreciate you raising that, and I think that's important for us to note. Alan?
I guess I have a question. Does anyone understand, staff or anyone else, why they explicitly put that wording into the guidebook? The only rationale I can think of is the board passed a rather unusual motion to add this at the very last moment, and they wanted to keep it as minimalist as possible. But I'm not sure that, you know, is there some real rationale for not including the similarity review other than keeping it a minimalist change?
I don't know if Brian or Margie are prepared to answer that, but that's certainly that was one of the questions that we asked them to take back. And Brian has confirmed the language. It could just be as innocent as, you know, the board passed a resolution and the staff followed the resolution
to the word.
To the word.
Yeah.
But let me ask Alan, what are your thoughts on it? So how do you feel? Would you object if we had advice, or would you support advice to the GNSO Council that, yes, as Chuck said, you know, we should support the principle of having uniformity and avoiding user confusion, and therefore this should be treated like all the other reserved names and undergo a string similarity review?
My personal opinion is yes, we should. I see little utility in accepting a name and passing it by to the later stages if it's likely to be eligible to objection anyway, or if the objections would not hold water, than to create user confusion. So, yes, I certainly I'm talking on my own behalf, but I suspect I'm talking on behalf of at large, in that anything which is going to really confuse users and things that sound the same in a common language or look the same, I put into that category. So, yes, I personally would support including widening the restriction to similarity.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Joy, okay.
Thanks. Speaking for myself and looking at the applicant guidebook and the evaluation process, I think in terms of the way it steps through is quite clear. It involves a string similarity review, which includes comparison of each applied for GTLD string against existing TLDs and reserved names. That's clearly set out in the applicant guidebook. And the IOC and Red Cross are already included in that list of reserved names. So it seems to me that, the discussion becomes rather circular because the string similarity review involves a test against the reserved names for which these two already exist. But secondly, again, thinking about precedent and thinking about sort of transparency, it seems to me sensible, in my personal view, to treat the names as we would any other names that fell within the reserved names list. Even if that we do that only for the purposes of this initial round, as per the board decision.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Joy. So it sounds like you were all saying the same thing as far as, and again, I'm just limiting it to the first round now just to kind of separate it out. Does anyone disagree with that recommendation that we recommend to the GNSO that they agree with the GAC proposal with respect to treating these names as all of the other reserve names? Okay, I think we have our first kind of. Steve wants me to restate this. Okay, so let me try to restate it. The people who have spoken so far have all said that the names, and we'll decide which names these are. So I think that's still sort of an open question, but that whatever names fall under the IOC Red Cross names. That were proposed by the GAC and the Red Cross, that those be placed, as the board has said, into the reserve names list, and that we recommend that they be treated like all of the other reserve names whereby a string similarity review is conducted. Margie, do you have a comment on that?
Oh, I had a comment. I think it was related to the other thing, whether you want to treat it the same as registered names, so more broadly. And I just wanted to share an observation that I had received, that one of the differences between this and the reserved names list is that the IOC or the Olympic Red Cross could actually apply for those names. And so my understanding was that was a little bit different than the reserved names concept.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So how about then just to limit what I said then to treat these names similarly to the other reserve names with respect to undergoing a string similarity review. And then we'll address the topic of whether we think that the Olympic Committee or the Red Cross should be able to apply for these names at the top level. So let's handle that separately. Does anyone disagree with that?
No.
Disagree with
Chuck.
What, Jeff?
Oh, Joy, you still have your hand up. Is that leftover or is that new? Okay, there you go. Chuck?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you were asking, what we disagree with, but in response to Margie's comment, keep in mind that the string similarity review applies to applied for names too, so those aren't in the same category of reserved names either.
It's in telephone conference.
Does that make any sense?
That's a good point. But Chuck, those aren't reserved in essence.
I agree.
Yeah.
But there's still a string similarity review that happens.
Right. I think Margie was just, and Margie could speak for herself, I think. But I think her point was, with my earlier statement that said if we treat it like a reserved name, then they couldn't apply for it. So I guess the main point that's come out of this, and maybe it's an issue of drafting or the way we say it, but I think everyone here agrees that whatever names fall on this list from the IOC and the Red Cross, those should undergo the string similarity, or applications for strings should undergo the string similarity review with these particular names. I think that's the point, and it seems like people are hitting the check mark. Steve?
Thanks, Jeff. And I understand the arguments on this approach to be in terms of making things more consistent and to increase the operational efficiency of the application process. But we should never underestimate the GAC's ability to misinterpret what we do as somehow defying their wishes. So I only ask as a question, is there any reason to suspect the GAC would object to a string similarity review the way we're recommending it now? Thanks.
Yeah, I think, Steve, it's a good point, and I believe they answered that. I think they asked for that in there, and they clarified that in the second, I want to say it's their Q&A document that came out. Maybe I know Jim's on the call, not to put him on the spot, but I think that was clarified, and I think the GAC was supportive of a string similarity review.
Thank you.
Jeff, it's Jim. I believe that's true.
Okay. And for those of you that don't know, Jim Bykoff is, and you may have seen his name, he represents, in certain matters, he represents the Olympic Committee and has been following this very closely, as you can imagine. Great. So then the next question is, and Jim, please step in if I'm misstating this. The next question was, with respect to the names that the board had recognized in the guidebook, so
if you kick me out, I'm sitting outside as well.
Whoever, if you could put it on mute, I think we hear some other conversation. So in the IOC, when the IOC and the Red Cross initially presented their proposal, they had presented examples in other languages, and they said it was pretty clear in their letter, they said it was for illustrative purposes only. For whatever reason, and I don't know the background of this, and maybe that's helpful to find out, but for whatever reason, I think the ICANN staff and the guidebook took that as the definitive list of foreign translations as opposed to an illustrative list. Again, I'm not sure what the rationale was for that, but in the GAC proposal, they came back with a more comprehensive list of foreign translations of these of the Olympic words and the Red Cross. And so the question I throw out to the group is this group willing to consider the GAC proposal, which expands the foreign translations, based on the rationale that when the Olympic Committee and Red Cross initially presented the list, it was for illustrative purposes, and I don't think they ever intended that list to be the sole and exclusive list. So, Steve, is your hand up? Is that new, or is that a...
I wanted to point out that the reserve names list in the actual guidebook, Jeff,
yes,
this is the top-level reserve names.
Yes.
There's a footnote in that table that says that, quote, in addition to the above strings, ICANN will reserve translations of the terms, test an example, in multiple languages. And my question is ICANN implying that the reserve names will also be reserved in multiple languages, or is that only the words test an example? And
so
speaking of Module 2, page 2-9.
So it's my understanding, and Brian or Margie, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding that that only applies to test an example, and they were very specific with the Olympic ones in the guidebook and specified which translations they were talking about. So,
thank you.
Yep. Joy?
Thanks.
This is Wolf.
I just got a point of clarification. I'm just trying to make sure I'm looking at the same version of the applicant guidebook as everybody else, and just clarifying that I think I am, which is the clean copy, the PDF that's dated the 19th of September last year.
That is the last one until maybe
that's
today.
That's the last one, right? Because in looking through page 10 of this, it seems that the IOC and the translations, which is what we're talking about here, the Red Cross, it clearly states that these names are not being placed on the reserve name list and thus are not part of the string similarity review conducted for names on that list.
Correct. That is what it says, and that's what we just talked about, which is that it's our recommendation that a string similarity review should be
applied.
Jeff, this is Wolfgang. I want to be in the queue.
Okay, sure. I'm just making sure that we're reading off the same page, Jeff, because I know it's confusing for some other people on the call who may not have this document in front of them and following the
right
the discussion.
So yeah, just to clarify, and then I'll let Wolfgang speak. The guidebook right now, as it's worded, says that there will not be any string similarity review of the IOC and Red Cross names. The discussion we just finished up was that we were going to recommend, in accordance with the GAC's proposal,
yeah,
that these names be placed on the reserve names list, or let me take that back, that these names should undergo a string similarity review.
Notwithstanding that they are not on the reserve names list.
Correct.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so then, Wolfgang, let me get to you.
Okay, thank you very much. So that means while I have nothing against review, I just want to raise two points. One is regarding to the Olympic, Olympiad, or whatever is close to Olymp. So I think Konstantinos made a good point in an email recently when he said, okay, there are so many variations, and the Olymp belongs to the Greek people. And so he was wondering why the Greek representative in the GAC did not raise this point, whether everything which goes to Olymp or something else will be just, you know, reserved for the IOC, which is a rather commercially oriented organization. So that means we have to be very, very precise what we want to reserve and what has to be reviewed, because only Olymp, you know, means many things, Olympiade, Olymp, is the mountain and things like that. So that means there are some variations which go beyond this, what the IOC is calling for. And the second point is, you know, remember the letter which was sent to ICANN a couple of weeks ago, where a number of UN organizations asked similar things. So we are talking about the Red Cross and the IOC, the Olympic Committee, but, you know, this will certainly produce a wave of other issues, and so unfortunately I was lost a little bit in this telephone call because I was cut off, and I have no idea whether this was already discussed, but I want to raise this again. This is an issue which needs also further consideration. I have no final answer to it, but, you know, we have to discuss this and have to respond to this letter, you know, which is an endless number of United Nations organizations and others who want to have, if we give this special status to the IOC and the International Red Cross, which certainly, you know, will call for a similar status. So I think I have no answer for this at this moment, but we have to take this into consideration. That means if we give this special status to the IOC and the Red Cross, we create a precedent, you know, which then others will refer to and will certainly ask for the same rights and the same considerations.
Yes, thanks, Wolfgang. And just, I don't know if you had been dropped off. We did have a discussion on precedent. And what we said was that certainly the objections should be noted we're not intending to create a precedent. And we need to be very clear in that in our messaging to the GNSO Council and our recommendation to the GNSO Council that we are only talking about the Olympic and Red Cross marks, that it is not our intention to create any precedent, and nothing should be read into our advice to constitute precedent. And even in the GAC letter that they had submitted, they do say that these are the only two marks they can think of that have these types of protections so universally accepted with a number of nations, treaties, and otherwise. And so we should note the fear of creating precedent. We should be very strong in our advice to say that this only applies to those. But I think we still need to move on with these names and our thoughts on these names with the underlying concern that it could, that we're not intending it to create precedent. So let me go to Joy. I'm not sure if that's new or old, but if that's new, then you have the floor, then Chuck and Alan. Okay, let me go to Chuck.
Thanks, Jeff. Wolfgang, I don't personally, and I think that the registry's stakeholder group came to this conclusion pretty much as a whole. I don't think the risk of setting undue precedent is really there because of the careful way that the GAC did their letter. This is one of the areas that I personally compliment the GAC on, because they define the parameters that set these two aside, which I think Jeff was just kind of indirectly referring to, in a very careful way. And I think that even applies to the latest requests for IGO names, that they do not meet the same criteria that the GAC applied to these. So I don't think that danger is there as much as you suggested.
Okay. Sorry, I just lost my place here. Alan, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with Chuck on that one. I don't think precedent is the issue here. The GAC may come back and say, "Oh, we have found these other 49 things which are relevant," but that's a different discussion altogether. The other part of what Wolfgang mentioned, however, I do have some concern with, and that is not for the Red Cross, but for Olympics. There are a whole host of other uses of words that are very similar and might well be excluded by a string similarity review unreasonably and perhaps without any appeal at all. And I just suggest that we think carefully about what wording we're going to put. I don't want to try to wordsmith it right now, but what is the intent? Is that these things be rejected categorically because they're deemed to be similar? Or there be some? Is there a review process? Do the Olympics get the veto? I don't know the answer, but there are an awful lot of words and terms that are quite similar to the Olympics ones. And I'm not at all sure I want to exclude all of them.
So I think that's a good point. I think we need to consider one other option. Again, this is a personal. Shouldn't have any more weight other than a personal opinion, is we could also say, well, let's see how it works in the first round. If we find that there are actually applications that are cut out, then you could always go back and review and say, okay, maybe we need to reconsider this rule and narrow it down, because I think we're thinking of a lot of situations that are theoretical, and I'm not sure any one of those organizations are actually thinking of applying. You know, it may be that that Olympus wants their camera, whatever, trademark and as a brand, and they get caught up. I would hope not, because I think, you know, the whole concept of string similarity is for visual confusion, not necessarily trademark confusion, which are different, or you know, it's not necessarily the same standard. So let me go to Constantinos, though.
Jeff, one quick follow-on. Does anyone – I'm not – as an expert on the guidebook as perhaps I should be, is there an appeal process over the string similarity review?
So I'll just answer that and then go to Constantinos.
Okay.
I believe the way I've read it is that if something does not pass string similarity review, there is no appeal from that.
That's what I was afraid.
If something goes through, however, then there'd be nothing preventing the Olympics, for example, or the Red Cross to challenge that string based on trademark rights or legal rights objection. So I hope someone could double-check that for me, because that's my belief, and I think that's the way it is, but if I'm wrong, someone please jump in. But in the meantime, let's go to Constantinos.
Thank you, Jeff. Very quickly, I would just like to reiterate what Wolfgang said in relation to the Olympic mark, as well as Alan. And I would like to draw everybody's attention to the fact that we need to make sure that we don't treat those two names the same, despite the fact that they were presented through the GAC letter and they have been presented for the past few months as if we need to treat them exactly the same. The reason I'm saying that is that, especially in relation to the Olympic mark, I can think of at least 10 different Greek trademarks incorporating the word Olympic or Olympiad, one of them being a very strong one, the Olympic Airlines. And to this end, needless to say that also the term for the Greeks incorporates some sort of cultural knowledge and heritage, which is protected through intellectual property laws. So what I'm trying to say is that I think that this group needs to separate, at some instances at least, when we're talking about the Red Cross and when we're talking about the Olympic mark, because if we reserve the Olympic mark, this automatically means that a lot of trademark owners and Greece as a nation is automatically excommunicated from potentially wanting to apply. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Constantino. So are you saying, I want to treat or segregate the issue here. So there's one example that you said, if someone has a legitimate right to that name, like Olympic Airlines, I think that's one example, and I think we should talk about that as to maybe, you know, if someone does come through in the first round, or maybe we just let the first round go as it is, because that's what ICANN board has pretty much recommended or has passed the resolution. And maybe for the second round, we consider that. But the other example that I want to make sure that we don't tie in together is, you know, I don't think it's his personal opinion. I don't think it would be fair to have something on the reserve list, but then allow someone to apply for Olympics with an X, and they don't necessarily have a legitimate right or trademark in that. They're just applying for it because it's another way to say Olympics. It's a different spelling. So I think that situation needs to be treated differently than the situation you're bringing up, is what if someone with an actual right to it applies?
Yes, and also that in the case of the Red Cross, because you're talking about the Red Cross, we're talking about the Red Cross and the International Olympic Committee, we're talking about the two names in a batch. I'm just saying that the Red Cross does not necessarily create as many problems as the Olympic mark, because in the case of the Olympic mark, there are also valid intellectual property rights being involved. So that's also the other angle that I was trying to mention. Thanks.
Okay, this is Wolfgang. I want to continue with Constantino's comment. You know, as long as it is restricted to the IOC and the International Olympic Committee and the Olympic Games, I understand this. But if it goes further down the road to, Constantinos mentioned Olympic Airways, or, you know, in Cyprus, there is a Mount Olymp, like in Greece. You know, if Cyprus or if somebody in Cyprus creates a dot Olymp for people, you know, climbing in mountains, you know, do you want to stop it? Because we have the IOC, which asks for special reservations. But it means this needs a very special recommendation how to review such applications. And so that means handling this on a case-by-case basis. So that means you cannot give a carte blanche to the IOC that everything which includes Olymp in a certain way, you know, remains to the IOC in headquartered in Lausanne, in Switzerland, as a commercial organization. And insofar, you know, we have to be very specific. We have to recognize the special rights of the IOC. I have nothing against it. But, you know, this does not mean that they occupy everything which is related to the, you know, words Olymp, in both in Latin, in Greece, and in other languages.
So I think it's a good point we need to think about. But we also have to think about the differences between a string similarity review and a review under trademark laws. I'm not sure that Olymp and Olympic are would fail in a string similarity review. You know, I think we could run it in the algorithm, but I'm not necessarily sure that with the way they've set out the string similarity, that those are visually similar enough to not pass through the review. If that were the case, then any mark that is to compare, just because there's a two-letter country code doesn't mean you can't have a four-letter string. The first two letters include two letters that are in a country code, right? I don't think those would fail. And I'm trying to think of an example off the top of my head. Unfortunately, none are coming to my mind, but there's got to be lots of examples where the first two letters of a three- or four-letter string are with a... okay, here's an example. Is .eco confusingly similar or string similarity to .co or .ec? I think the answer is no. I don't know that for a fact, but that's kind of something we need to think about. Let me go. I think Constantinos, I think that was a leftover one, right? So let me go to Chuck.
Jeff, first of all, I want to disagree with you on one thing. String similarity is not just about visual similarity. The initial checks are just about visual similarity. But the grounds for string similarity in terms of objections are much broader than that.
Correct. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. Now, with regard to what Constantino and Wolfgang talked about with regard to, like, Olympic Airlines, we've already got some history of cases. In fact, even in the current guidebook, there are. It's not so much at the top level as it is probably at the second level, but we have some precedent set where there are exceptions, provided there are no objections, for example, from the International Olympic Committee. And so I just throw that out. We don't need to talk about that now, but there are ways of allowing for equivalent trademark holders of the term Olympic or Olympiad, for example, where as long as there's no objections and it's used in a way that doesn't create confusion, it could be acceptable. But we don't need to go delve into that now, but I wanted to point that out.
Yep. Okay, thanks, Chuck. I think it's important. I think that's going to be a much larger discussion when we talk about the second level. But, I mean, if people feel like it should apply at the first top level too, then by all means, let's address that. Joyce?
Thanks, Jeff. Just listening to the conversation, the discussion, it seems to me that there's a couple of themes emerging, and I'm just reflecting them back to see if it's helpful for the discussion, and possibly in terms of the joint discussion with the GAC. The first is that there seems to be sort of a view, on the one hand, that there are some options about how to treat the names in the upcoming round. The first option being to include the string similarity review, notwithstanding the terms of the guidebook, and the second being to treat some of the specific new applications on a case-by-case basis, particularly in relation to the IOC, which may cause more and different issues than the counterpart Red Cross, which we've barely so far discussed, which is not to say there aren't issues, of course. And I'm just wondering whether it might be useful to, endeavour to engage with the GAC around, you know, that range of options, or there may be others, and get their response to some of this more detailed questions that we've got.
Okay, thanks, Joyce. Let me go to Greg.
Hi, it's Greg Chatton. I just wanted to follow on Chuck's comment and looking at the applicant guidebook, point out that, you know, a string similarity review, if a superficial similarity or a first level review similarity comes up, that leads then to a string confusion analysis by a panel, as I understand it. And the standard for string confusion, I'll read quickly, is string confusion exists where a string so nearly resembles another visually that it is likely to deceive or cause confusion. For the likelihood of confusion to exist, it must be probable, not merely possible. That confusion will arise in the mind of the average reasonable Internet user. mere association in the sense that the string brings another string to mind is insufficient to find a likelihood of confusion. So it seems to me that the kind of protections that are being, or concerns that are being talked about in terms of slippery slope type of issues are already being dealt with here, and also in terms of kind of case-by-case review, that in fact there will be a panel, in fact that there will be a kind of substantive review as to whether there is real similarity or merely a superficial similarity.
Greg, can you, I'm just trying to digest that, can you go over that again just to restate?
Sure, it's saying, since there is an actual review by a panel of string confusion, once a string similarity is revealed by the kind of algorithmic first cut type of analysis, that there is a panel which is supposed to review these string similarities and see whether they in fact rise to the level of string confusion. And so a string similarity review involves both an assessment of string similarity, and for those found to have a similarity, whether a string confusion exists. And if a string confusion does not exist, then it will be passed through. Only if a string confusion exists will the applied for string be rejected. So something like OLIMP, not to pre-guess the result of a substantive analysis by a panel, but OLIMP may well not be found to be confusing, visually or otherwise, with Olympic,
right,
even if there is a string similarity and
right.
At the kind of algorithmic level.
Yes, so that's a good point, and that delves into what Chuck had mentioned as well. So there are other factors. First, it has to be found to be visually similar before you look at any other factors. If it's not found to be visually similar, you don't even get to the next.
I don't think that's true.
It is. With this point, it is.
You're telling me that there's in the guidebook there's a prerequisite?
Yeah.
To the panel, it has to be viewed as a string similar, visually similar first?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Wait, hold on, Chuck. Let me finish. At this level, yes. But you could still do a string similarity objection. You could file an objection later on. So even if something doesn't kick at the first string similarity review done by the ICANN appointed panel looks for visual similarity. If there's no visual similarity, the string similarity panel doesn't do anything else.
Please, we can do this offline, but point to me where that is in there. I don't recall ever seeing that.
Okay.
This is Greg again. It's a little more complicated than that, but it does say that the algorithm will be used as one of several standards, and that if there is a visual similarity, a higher visual similarity score suggests a higher probability that the application will not pass the string similarity review. The score is only indicative. Final determination of similarity is entirely up to the panel's judgment. This is page 2-6 and 2-7.
That's fine.
Right.
And then the algorithm, user guidelines, and additional background information are all available to applicants. So.
Yeah, so we could take that offline, but unless, and then maybe someone else got the answer, but the way I read it and the way it was explained during, and I even asked the question in, where were we, Dakar, it's got to be at that stage, not at the objection stage where you could file an objection, but at that stage, if it's not visually similar, there's no further string similarity review done. It's got to be visually similar first. Not necessarily the algorithm. I'm just saying someone's got to determine that it's visually similar. So the panel wouldn't look at meaning or anything else. The panel only looks at visual similarity initially. If there's visual similarity, it looks at other things. So let me go to Steve. And Chuck, I'll find that for you in the guidebook. I'll send it to you.
Thanks.
Steve?
Thank you, Jeff. In the chat, I had put up the question. I want to repeat it here and then see if we can get some assistance. The question that I raise is the panel reviewer for string similarity allowed to take into account external information at making her determination of likelihood of confusion? for instance, would they be allowed to get a letter of non-objection from the International Olympics Committee so that it would let them definitively say that the one for whom confusion is a concern has indicated that they're not worried about the confusion between Olympus Airlines and Olympics. And so I'm asking whether the panel is allowed to take external information in, and if so, that provides a flexible point where the non-objection could be handled during the string similarity panel.
Okay, does anyone know the answer to that question?
No.
All right, Margie and Brian, can we get an answer to that?
Sure.
Steve, could you...
I pasted in the language on that. If in general the amount of information and the considerations that they take in is unlimited, well, then the panel would know that if the similarity was with respect to IOC, they would know that one possibility is that the applicant could show a letter of non-objection. They would find no likelihood of confusion for that reason, and that would allow it to proceed. Thanks.
Can I respond to that, Jeff?
I think you're next in the queue, so yes.
Okay. Steve, unfortunately, I think Edmund Chung's the one that led the charge on this. In trying to get staff to consider exceptions, that particular one wasn't necessarily mentioned, but they never would, which means that I think a string could be eliminated even though it might not create any confusion at all, just because of the confusing similarity in the strings themselves. So I think that's wrong. And now the board has an exception procedure for the CCs, but I don't think there's any exceptions like that, which I think is unfortunate.
And Chuck, this is Steve. And Jeff, if I may just respond to that, the business constituency is absolutely on board and agrees with Chuck's point of view. We didn't want an applicant to be thrown out on similarity when the similarity was actually to an existing TLD they were already controlling. So that Chuck is right, but when I look at the language in 2.5 of the guidebook, the operative verb is determine. The panelist gets to determine whether two strings are so similar. The real open question is whether that determination permits the consideration of external information. I don't see how it couldn't. If it doesn't prevent them, then you have to believe the reviewer can take into account all available information in making that determination. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. And maybe what you're saying is that just like all the evaluators can take in information during the public comment period maybe that's one of those things. But I think we should get an answer to that. I think it's a good question.
Let's pursue the answer as broadly as we can to satisfy Chuck's concern as well.
Right. And then I'll go to the next question. I just want to just announce that this call is scheduled for an hour, and we're over time, but we're having good discussion. But I think we do kind of need to wrap up. So let's hear the comment from Joy and then see if we can kind of wrap this up and see where we are. Joy?
Thanks, yes. Does Greg have his hand up?
That's a leftover.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. I mean, I really appreciate Chuck and Steve's discussion around these issues. And I think, to be honest, I'm now, having listened to the discussion, of the view that increasingly the string similarity review process should not kick in for these applications. I think that my reason for thinking that is that the sort of increasing complexity that seems to be being loaded into that string similarity review in a sense counteracts what was intended to be, from all accounts, you know, the simplicity of simply having names that were ineligible for delegation and listing those. And I think loading the string review eligibility, the string similarity review process with more burdens and barriers for not only applicants but also even for either the IOC or the Red Cross would be counterproductive. And I'm also mindful of, you know, the time and the processes involved in doing so. So at the risk of it being a rather circular discussion, I think this has increasingly made me uneasy about that as an approach, although I wouldn't, Jeff, want to rule out, nonetheless, discussing that as an option with the GAC, but I can see now that it may actually cause more problems than we're intending it to solve. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Joy. And I think what I'd like to see is I'd like to see emails from people on the list about this particular question, because it seems like some people have gone back and forth, and so now I'd like to see kind of emails to get a good sense of, from people where they are at this point in time. I do also really caution everyone to think about, I know that there are certain examples that people are thinking about, like Olympus cameras and OLIMP, and I think we can deal with those. I want those treated separately, though, than people who apply for, you know, if you have Olympic on, or Olympic CS on the OLYMPICS, and then you have someone who applies for Olympics with an X, you know, I want you to think about that example as well, where there may not be a legitimate right. So think about that case and in your comments as well, because I think we're thinking about the one or two outliers for trademarks that may be similar, but you need to think about the marks that there may not be those legitimate rights as well. So I do want to see comments from everyone on this issue to see where people stand, because it seems like some people have changed. So I just want to say that the next call before we get off this one is, we agreed on the last call to every couple weeks. We didn't do this 2 weeks the last time because the holidays were during that time period. So same time, probably the same phone number, but I guess we'll get those details. Same Adobe, and all this stuff, by the way, is on the wiki. The transcript and the recording of the calls are all actually, the recording of the calls and transcripts are on the GNSO master calendar, but maybe I can ask that links be put on the wiki as well for these, if we could do that. And then again, so I do want to start more of an email dialogue. We do not have much time on the top-level issue, and we really didn't get into the discussion of foreign translations. We stayed mostly on the string similarity. So if we can kind of talk about that online in emails, that would be great. Anybody else have any questions? Great. Well, I definitely want to encourage the online dialogue, and if I don't talk to anyone before, I will talk to everyone in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.